2 o'clock in the Southland on a live imaging Tuesday. Yeah. Happy New Year, if you haven't heard it yet 100 times by
When's
people.
When's the cutoff? How long do you
feel
say
like this
Happy
week,
New
right?
Year? Really, by the end of the week, it's Happy New Year over.
Yeah, you get this week, that's it.
Yeah.
This week, and then done with Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when the NFL season ends, that's it.
That's
regular
it.
Season ends, that's
Nothing
it.
By the happened. Way, just like last year, in this year, we do Yacht Rock on Tuesdays when Johnny's here.
Could we not
Johnny I?
Do a poll and find a different kind of music?
We could do any poll you want, but we're still playing it.
Well, what music, if you could change it to a genre, what would you change it to?
What do we do when John's not here on Tuesdays? Well, Momo always likes Whitesnake, and then she laughs for 4 minutes
she
about
Whitesnake.
She does
like Whitesnake, for some reason.
David Coverdale? Lead singer of Whitesnake?
I think that's right.
Was married to Tiny
Katane, who's on
Sounds
the car
right.
in one of the videos.
Yeah. The late, great Tiny Katane?
Yeah.
It is a final.
I would say I would like that 98.7 music.
Alt 98.7?
Alt 98.7.
Play what we want.
Yeah, we play what we
want. No, that's Jack.
Oh, is Jack the one that has our
games?
This is
a geriatric sweater. We're not playing Alt 98.7 for you.
Wait a minute, we're playing Yacht Rock from the 70s.
Exactly.
Are you kidding me?
Well, it's more of our demo.
It's come back
it's
around.
It's not our demo.
Literally, there were 4,000 people watching a Yacht Rock cover band in Anaheim on 12/28.
So you think that's our demo?
It's part of our demo.
I love, I like 70s and 80s music more than I like 2010s.
I like late 80s music.
Yeah.
Early 90s. That's what I want. Well, late 80s, early 90s.
Early 90s gets a little grungy for me.
I love
Too
grunge.
Grungy.
If you want to do like a Pearl Jam, because for Christmas I got the Pearl Jam vinyl, the Alive album, and Springsteen.
You're buying vinyl now?
Well, those were part of my gifts. Oh, I love vinyl.
Do you?
Pepe Montilla got me into vinyl.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah.
Is he a big vinyl guy?
He's a big vinyl guy.
Perfect sense. He's a big vinyl guy. Pepe, he sees.
Pepe is very eclectic.
He sees every foreign language film.
He'll be in here. He'll be in here tomorrow. By the way,
yeah, he is. He's on it.
By the way, Pepe sent a very nice New Year's Day. The only person that didn't reply, actually, two people didn't reply. Producer Lindsay,
yeah,
and Ireland.
Yeah, I was on a plane.
When
I landed, there was like all of your responses on the chain. But I felt I missed it. I felt I was too late.
If the text had just come at any other time, John,
at any
just sort of, but
time.
Yeah, but I had like.
Wait a second. Wasn't Michael Thompson on that plane too?
Yeah, he responded.
Yeah, he probably hooked up to the internet.
He responded with a thumb.
Yeah, Michael probably connected to the web.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, you know what is entertaining?
What?
Speaking of social media and stuff, even though we weren't talking about it, the Mike Trudell, Michael Thompson videos while they're on the road. Trudell does a great job.
Oh,
with
does he? I've not seen
them.
He normally
awesome.
Goes to the back of the plane and posts at least one video from each
cool.
one of our flights.
It's on Trudell's
Instagram?
It's
like the world according to Michael.
And it's highly entertaining.
Oh, I have to look.
These days, sometimes more entertaining than the game.
Yeah,
well,
the way it's been going,
yeah,
yes.
But Saturday night was a missed opportunity by the NBA.
Yeah. What was the missed opportunity?
We're in Minnesota.
Yep.
Okay. And it's LeBron's birthday, and the Lakers make a ferocious comeback. I mean, they were dead. Michael and I were signing off.
Yep.
107-100, yep. 35 seconds left in the game. So we figure, all right, it's over. LeBron comes down and dribbles to the right side of the basket. Mm-hmm. And for some inexplicable reason, now keep in mind, they're up 7 and there's 30 seconds to go.
Right.
The one thing Minnesota cannot do is foul.
Right.
Because it stops the clock,
yep.
and it gives the Lakers a chance to catch up. LeBron drives right, scores on a layup,
yep.
and Jaden McDaniels fouls him for an and one. Then McDaniels screams the F word at the ref,
mm-hmm.
and the ref tees him up.
Yep.
So now all of a sudden, Austin Reeves hits the technical.
Yep.
LeBron hits the free throw. It's 107-104, 30 seconds left.
Wow.
Jaden McDaniels just had a complete brain cramp. So the Lakers don't have to foul.
Yep.
They come down. They get a stop with like 5 seconds left. They throw it to LeBron, who's streaking down the court. LeBron pulls up at the three-point line and buries it.
Yep.
To what we thought was tie the game at 107.
Yeah.
The ref says, no, 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 your foot was on the line. And they go and look at it. And I could send you...
Oh, I mean,
10 images.
I've looked at all these. There's no question he's behind the line.
Even if you want, I've had people make a compelling argument that he may have been on the line.
Really?
But I've seen enough video evidence where this was a 3. I'm convinced of it. But here's the thing. Why would the NBA kneecap the 3-pointer? Because 107-107 with 3 seconds left and Minnesota having a chance to win the game or send it into overtime is what everybody wants.
Right, right.
You have LeBron on his birthday, just tied the game on a three, and the NBA no fun police come out and say, nope, foot was on the line. No, it wasn't.
It was not on the line, and here's the problem. I don't understand the – and, you know, I've been on this for years, and you jumped on this. The friggin' instant replay just doesn't work.
Get rid of it.
It doesn't work.
If that's going to be
– if you're going to still screw up the call after you look at the video, then why even – take the time to look at the video.
And all it does is slow down the game and wreck it. Now, keep in mind, if we adopt what you and I are proposing, then it would have been a two.
Right.
But our point is, if you're going to have replay as a tool and you still screw it up, then why have replay? Why stop the game for no reason?
Yeah.
And so now I'm completely on board with you. We got away with no replay for years. If they want to just get rid of it to speed the game up, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
They can't – I mean, they'd screw up a ham sandwich.
They
which
really
is
would.
Actually what LeBron said after the game.
Yeah, 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 exactly. All right, so, you know, the Lakers are 500 right now.
Yep, 17-17.
But there are some teams that are far worse off. And Gilbert Arenas, who has a podcast, was talking about what it's like to play for a really bad team. And he has played for one. Listen to this.
You've been on some bad teams, but I don't think you've been on a team that lost 20-something games in a row. Showing up for a team that bad day after day after day just sounds like the most miserable shit in the world to me.
My rookie season, there was a stretch where we were 6-40. What it looked like, exactly how it looks like on the court. They decided, we're not going to have practice anymore. Just come to the games. This is pointless. Just come to the games.
Are you
not even. Yeah, well, why are we coming to practice? Because you're not practicing hard. You're just arguing. You're arguing about your playing time. On the end of the bench, we got guys drinking 2 beers per quarter in the Gatorade bottles. So we got players that's drunk on the end of the bench. It's depressing, right? You're counting your days. The guys who's not playing, they wish they can play, but those are sour apples because they're talking about the players that's on the court, how sorry he is. Like, it's just a bitter group of players.
Yeah, I think
6-40.
Amazing.
They don't practice, and you got guys drinking.
Drunk on the bench.
I've never heard of that.
You've never.
I've heard of
that.
A lot of stuff, but I've never heard of players being drunk on the bench ever. I've heard of teams not practicing.
Right.
But I never knew
practice
that.
Is like what's the if you really what was he 5-6-40
six he said.
And 40 I mean you don't need practice
so
that.
What
well,
I
you
think
need a lot
I
of
think
practice,
the
but.
I think the Pistons are 3-30 now right or pretty close
they finally snapped that streak
right but
boy, that's awful that's just awful you brought up something a couple of weeks ago they when they win at home fans win wings
right. From like Wingstop or someplace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that a good thing or a bad thing for Wingstop that they're not giving
away
wings?
Oh, it's a great thing.
Think
about
this.
So? Because the promotion still exists. They read it every night at a game, and they never have to pay it off. So they still get the ads.
Yeah.
They still get the attention and the
and they're hardly going
to
give away any wings this year.
And they've had to give away wings once.
One time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's great for
them. I guess
them.
It's a good deal. I guess
it's like the Jack in the Box deal with the Lakers. We talk about it all the time, and they don't always have to give them away.
Everybody knows that number. Everybody's paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Ireland is this I think is a fair question. Are the Rams, and I saw this morning on Get Up, are they the second best team in the NFC?
The Niners are clearly the best team.
Niners, it's absolutely the Niners are the best
even
team.
Even though Baltimore boat raced from last week. Are the Rams the second best team? If the Rams go to Detroit, I'm picking the Rams. If they go to Dallas, I'm picking the Cowboys. Dallas at home is really good. But I'm trying to think of who else is going to be in this. Tampa? No, I'd pick the Rams.
Pick the Rams.
Bay.
Philly's in free fall.
Yeah, I'd pick the
I'd
Rams.
I'd pick the Rams.
Green Bay, I'd pick the Rams.
They lost 2 once, but they didn't have Matthew Stafford.
So it's San Francisco, Dallas, Tampa, or Detroit.
Detroit.
Tampa.
Yep.
Who's the 5?
Philly.
Philly.
Philly. Rams, probably Seahawks or Packers.
Packers, yeah. I think, is the likely.
I think the Rams are third.
The third best team in the NFC.
Yeah.
Bergman, do you agree?
You have no
choice but to agree.
I think, why do I have no choice but
you
to
have
agree?
No choice because John was right on this. Go ahead.
I don't think three is the right answer.
What
I
is
think
the
they're
right
probably
answer?
Closer to five.
You would pick the Lions over them if they have to go to Detroit?
I'd pick San Francisco, the Lions, Dallas, and Philly are all better than them. Fifth.
I don't know.
They would lose to
Philly,
all of them.
Philly is going backwards. Philly is the one I question you on. But the other three, I agree.
Dallas rolled them. So I have no issue with Dallas being in front of them.
Like John said, Dallas at home is a totally
different
team.
Do we know Detroit is good? I mean, like, if Jared Goff has to play against Matthew Stafford in Detroit,
oh, it's just,
what a great storyline
that is. You know what this contributes
to? That's got to be the Sunday night game, doesn't it?
This is like the script.
Yeah.
Right? This is when people talk about the preordained script. The best matchup in the first round of the playoffs would be Jared Goff versus Matthew Stafford. And Matthew Stafford returning to Detroit. That follows the script, I think.
Yeah. Greg, you would pick Detroit in that game.
I would pick Detroit. And it's mostly because
I would pick the Rams.
I think it would come down to like a field goal or something. And
the Rams have no kicker.
And have no kicker. Or it'll come down to a punt return that the guy runs all the way back. They have a good punt return.
Well, that's happened twice in the last month.
Yeah. 4 weeks.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So the two biggest problems that the Rams have are kicking and special teams.
Well,
and that's going to come back to bite you.
And here's
the
thing. They played a crap game on. It's unbelievable they won. Given the fact that they gave up the punt return, they had
Giants had a kicker, they would have lost.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if he was 5 yards closer, I think they would have lost.
Right.
Yeah, he took that. He took a sack.
Although
right,
he clearly shanked that kick.
Oh God, yes. That could have been.
I mean, he tried to put everything.
That was almost our kicker.
Right. For a week, he was. He was in camp for a week.
If you're just tuning in, Brent Maher has returned.
He's back!
Kicker. He's back. I've been waiting for this for a long time. Coming up next, the story of a D-bag billionaire.
I don't know what to do with this story.
Yeah, we'll do that coming up next.
By the way, before we break,
yeah,
what do you think about them bringing Brett Maher back? He's our best option. I mean, we'll ask Sean McVay about it tomorrow.
We will.
When he comes on. But, I mean, there is no one out there anywhere in this great U.S. of A. that's a better option than Brett Maher?
Hey, I love it. Don't tempt me with a good time.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a good time when you line up a kicker, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I'm rooting for him. Seems like a decent guy.
I just feel like, damn, it's going to come down to a kick at some point. At some point, you're going to need a game-winning, game-tying field goal or an extra point, and you're not going to get it.
He's going to miss it. That's Brett Maher's MO, right? Missing extra points.
He missed all those extra
points. He missed four in a row once.
The one thing I like about him, he's good from beyond 50, weirdly.
Sure. But you know what Sean McVay is going to say? He's like, oh, you know, he was already in the system for most of the year. We like what we saw from it for
stretches.
What the hell
is the system matter at this point?
But that's what he's going to say.
They didn't like what they saw. He missed seven field goals.
Right, and that's why they got rid of him.
I mean, that guy in Dallas hasn't missed any.
We know what he's about. We know that he's here. Yeah, I mean, like, there's other guys out. You're mentioning Robbie Gould before. Who else is out there? There's
got to
be other guys.
There are.
Maybe they don't want to. I have no idea.
They don't want anybody unproven.
By the way, I don't understand the...
They tried that with Haversick.
I don't understand the he's not in the system thing. I mean, his job is to kick. You don't need...
Right.
What system
do you
need
to learn? He had been here with us already this year.
Yeah, but what
so
difference does that make? He's a kicker.
It doesn't matter to me.
It's not like you got to learn the offense.
That's what he's going to say. $5,000 mythical dollars, that's what he says.
Hey, I got an idea. Why don't we go to the CFL to find a kicker?
Or go to those. Every time somebody comes in from Australia, he's always lights
always,
out.
Always, yeah, yeah.
Get one of those dudes.
All right, next, D-bag millionaire, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know if YouTube saw it, but I got it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Quarter after 2 o'clock. Welcome back. Happy New Year. It's Live Imaging Tuesday with Mason in Ireland that actually showed up to their jobs.
Mason, yes. Who's this?
This is...
You got
Bertie
it.
Bertie Higgins.
There you go.
I've been doing this long enough to know Bertie Higgins.
One-hit wonder, Chris?
I want to say no, simply because I feel like there's another one, but I think it's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I've never heard of
it. So you guys decided to come back to work. Like you're supposed to on January 2nd.
On January 2nd,
yeah. Right. But we're the only ones, right?
Well, like Travis
Sliwa mailed it in.
Sliwa mailed it in.
Cappy's mailing it in.
Cappy's got another week. He's playing in the snow right now.
Oh, wow. Good for him.
And that, I mean, he's literally in Mammoth.
I don't begrudge anybody taking their time off.
Uh-huh.
Do I? I don't.
No, I understand.
Everybody should get their time.
Right. Well, see, that was actually kind of the scuttlebutt of What's the that? Best ofs. People tried to say that the reason why Sedano and Cap was 90 minutes and you guys were 60 minutes is because you had too much time off. That wasn't. It was just a scheduling thing. We had a 90-minute window to fill with
to
that.
Fill.
And then we had 60-minute window with the other two.
Oh, okay.
But the best stuff was good.
Yeah. I missed all this stuff.
Well, it was out there.
Yeah, good. Good. I'm glad. By the way, you know, I was talking to Bergman today. Apparently, the numbers on YouTube keep going up. The number of people
yes.
that watch the show, consume
right.
the show on YouTube. So if you're not following our channel, not watching us, we're on YouTube right now. Ireland is absolutely on his game today.
Wait a minute.
On his game.
Robert Ojeda. What happened to that kid from San Diego, the one that was accused of all that stuff? He was good. He's a punter. That's Matt,
yeah, that's
Ariza.
Punter, Matt Ariza.
He was the punt god. And I hope that guy gets a job because he's been completely exonerated.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you guys were talking about the whole John Quintero thing. That Cappy
What's
went
the John Quintero
The Cappy went viral over.
Oh, did,
oh,
why? Did he comment
that
publicly
great.
About it?
Yeah.
Oh, he did?
So
what
they,
was it?
They let
John
him go.
John got fired.
Oh.
And we knew him back in the day.
Yeah, I remember, I was
sorry
yeah,
to hear that. I used to work with him, too.
But then does Cap not like him?
No, Cappy commented on the CappyCast that the Padres forced him out, and that went viral. The New York Post even ran it.
The New York Post says John Quintero got fired because he was anti-Padre?
Because of Cappy commenting
on
it.
And by the way, the Padres commented on Cappy and said what Scott Kaplan said is not true.
Oh, that made Cappy's whole holiday.
Of course it did. Point of this.
Well, it wasn't by a person. It was just by their PR department.
So now the Padres hate him too.
Their PR guy was
added to the list.
Was the Lakers PR guy for like 10 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I'm friends with that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I think Cappy and they should start a feud with the Padres.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Oh, Cappy. I mean, Cappy getting quoted somewhere is what Cappy's.
Oh, he loves it.
He loves
oh,
it.
Oh, loves it.
He's on the phone with Barrett Sports Media every single day. Hey, I got an idea. You know what? I just
interview
said,
me.
Write an article about it.
It's true, though.
It is true. All right. So did you see the Carolina? Chris, you stay for this. The Carolina billionaire owner, David Tepper. Carolina, by the way, just an awful football team. Just absolutely awful.
And a lot of it is Tepper's fault. One of the things that happened was they were so anxious to get Jerry Richardson out. He got Me Too'd, the
yes.
previous owner, Jerry
yes.
Richardson. And so they brought in David Tepper.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that David Tepper is one of these guys that he's a knucklehead with money.
Yep.
So he does whatever he wants.
Very Dan Snyder-y.
And what he did over the weekend was he was in a suite, and his team, Carolina, which has won, I think, two games all year, he threw a drink on a bunch of Jacksonville fans, and he forgets that everybody has a phone in their pocket.
It's unbelievable.
So now the league's got to deal with it. They have yet to deal with it. What do you think should happen to him?
He should be fined heavily and suspended.
I think you tell him, we have 1 week left. See you next year.
By the way, I think you should find those people. I think you should make some sort of recompense. Is that a word? Recompense to them?
I'm done challenging you
recompense?
On words.
Recompense. Is that a word?
How did that even pop
in
your skull?
Every time he does this, it turns out to be a word.
Make amends to someone for loss or harm suffered.
You're like
compensate.
Recompense is
you're like
right.
150 and 0.
That
in
is crazy.
Recompense.
Recompense.
Okay.
Don't you think he should owe some recompense?
I do. I think if he was smart, he would show some accountability and apologize right now. Instead, he's not doing anything. You mentioned Dan Snyder. He's going full Dan Snyder here.
And if it was a fan dumping a beer
on him or
a player,
that fan would be banned for life. Of course.
And they would say that it's assault.
Yes.
Yeah, they would say it's assault.
He does it, and nothing happens. He should do something for the fan. He should come out and apologize, and he should be fined.
Just because you got $1 billion doesn't mean you're allowed to act like an a-hole.
But this
apparently,
is America.
The opposite is
your
true.
Your team sucks. You should be grateful to anybody who shows up.
So not only does his team suck, but think about this. He traded this year's number one pick to Chicago so he could draft Bryce Young, who I like Bryce
who
a lot.
He's a Southern California.
But yeah, Bryce has not been like CJ Stroud would have been the pick.
Yes.
But he took Bryce Young, and now Chicago gets Carolina's pick next year, which is going to be the number one pick.
Yes.
So, I mean, David Tepper has screwed that franchise six ways to Sunday.
And his record since taking over as owner is just a disaster.
Hasn't he also screwed up the soccer team, too?
Does he own a soccer team?
I think Charlotte FC, and he keeps firing those coaches, too.
Yeah.
He's one of those.
Yeah, he's already had his third coach in 3 years for the Panthers.
Yeah, you can't establish anything
that way. And he's one of the innovators of hedge funds. That's where he made his billion.
Oh, is that right?
He's one of the first big major hedge funds.
Good for him. Now he treats people like...
Hedges.
Yeah, exactly.
Just keeps cutting them.
So, by the way, that number one pick, Chicago's got an interesting choice because I think Justin Fields can be a franchise quarterback.
Really?
So does DJ Moore.
Absolutely, I do. DJ Moore came out and said, that's the guy I want throwing me passes. They've got an opportunity to take Caleb Williams. I say you've got to take Caleb Williams no matter what, even if you've got Justin Fields, even if you believe in Justin Fields. He's going to have a market afterwards, but you cannot pass on a guy that is potentially going to be a transcendent quarterback in Caleb Williams.
Well, what happens if Fields is a transcendent quarterback?
Do you think he is?
Could be.
Who would you bet on, Fields or Caleb?
Well, here's why you take Caleb. It resets your quarterback contract.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They have to pay Justin Fields a ridiculous amount of money if they're going to keep him. They're better off letting him. Justin Fields is from Georgia.
Yeah.
They should trade him to Atlanta and get a bunch of picks for him and then draft Caleb Williams, and then you're on a rookie deal with your quarterback.
Yeah, and then you trade down and take Marvin Harrison.
Well, they have their own pick, too. Bears have their own pick.
Yeah.
So they could take Marvin. They might not even have to trade down.
Yeah.
Although I think Marvin Harrison's going too.
I do too. I think he's going too.
Unless Drake May goes too.
Right. There's a lot. And you think now Michael Penix is a first round guy. He was great.
I do, but
last
night. I think he'll be the fourth quarterback taken. They'll take who's the guy that won the Heisman from LSU?
From LSU, Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah. I think he's the third quarterback.
Right.
And then Michael Penix is the fourth.
Fourth quarterback.
By the way, it goes Bears and then Washington, who's going to take a quarterback.
Yeah, they need
Washington
a quarterback.
Definitely needed a quarterback. It's not going to be Sam Howell going into next
year, right? No, I think probably going to wind up with Drake May.
And that leaves...
Then it's the Patriots. As of right now, then it's the Patriots, Cardinals. Patriots need a quarterback. Cardinals... Possibly Giants.
I've got an idea.
Chargers?
For the Patriots quarterback. What do you think of this? Because you can get him cheap.
Bailey Zappi.
Russell Wilson.
He says he doesn't want to leave anymore.
Russell Wilson.
What?
Russell Wilson came out and said he didn't want to leave.
Well, yeah, but that's Sean Payton's not going to pay him.
No, he's going to get cut. I heard today he's going to get cut on like March 18th.
He's saying he doesn't want to go now. So.
Yeah,
but he doesn't have a choice. They don't want him.
Well. We'll see. He didn't get rid of his contract, so that's part of it.
Right. But if they terminate his deal before March the whatever.
He could stay for a different deal.
Yeah.
I don't think Russell Wilson and Sean Payton can coexist.
I don't either. And I don't want – honestly, I think Russell Wilson's time has passed.
Look at his numbers. He hasn't been terrible this year. But Sean Payton wants a robot quarterback. He wants somebody that, you know, goes through his progressions. 1, 2, 3, 4, like Drew Brees used to.
He wants a quarterback-y quarterback?
We got to talk about that.
We will get to quarterbackiness.
Yeah, we got to talk about that. Let's talk about that next.
We'll do some quarterback-y stuff coming up next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Live imaging Tuesday, 2:30 of the Southland. Now, John, you said, did Bernie Higgins have another hit? I don't know if this was a hit, but we found another song.
We found another Bertie Higgins song. Dug this up.
On a Yacht Rock Tuesday.
Yeah.
What's the name of this song, Brian?
Casablanca.
Never heard of it.
Yep. Never heard of it.
Neither have I.
So I think your assessment that he was a one-hit wonder is accurate.
New theme song. Let's just go with Bertie Higgins the rest of the show. Just find other Bertie Higgins songs.
Bertie
We're going to have to go deep into the record box.
Really, really. The deep cuts.
We might need our friends at Rhino Records to send us over some Bertie Higgins.
There you go. So, Happy New Year's, everybody.
Yes.
It was a good New Year's. I said to you guys, I think this is the best holiday period I've had.
Who was your first kiss at midnight?
Juan.
Oh, I'll just double check it.
Yeah. All right.
It's our anniversary. Yesterday was our 18th anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Yeah, Juan and I have been together 18 years.
Here's, Coconut Michael has written, he says, that Kaplan has a list of things that he is...
That's why I said add it to the list.
Yeah.
All right. Oh,
yeah.
So people that are mad at him. Yeah. Okay. All right. So here's the list. Yeah. Joe Fortenbaugh.
Well, that was the prickly pear today.
Needless to say.
Uber driver. Apparently he had a bad Uber driver.
Okay. Yeah.
Aaron Andrews. What's his beef with
this
Aaron?
This goes years ago when he was doing Westwood One or CBS.
He said something to her and she blew him off.
Like her.
He said, could he listen to her report and use it on the air? And she said no.
Oh, okay.
Didn't she also like call him and leave him some scathing?
Yes. Oh, did she?
I didn't know about that.
That's
okay.
Great.
So,
play that.
Rachel, but that's temporary.
Yeah, no, that comes and goes.
What's Alfonso Ribb?
Alfonso Riviero.
You know I hate Alfonso.
Oh yeah, no, that's Mason that hates him, not Cappy.
But there's something that happened
Bill
with Cappy.
Bill Plaschke.
All these people hate Cappy.
Yeah, why does Plaschke hate Cappy?
We torched Plaschke about something a few months ago, and he got mad.
I don't think Plaschke knows who Kaplan is.
He's been around a long time. Come on.
Gutless Morales. Well, you get that's temporary.
No, that's
SVP. He's got a problem with Van Pelt.
What's with Van Pelt?
I don't know.
Sheila E. Why does he hate Sheila E.?
There was something where he didn't know Sheila E.
He didn't know she was a drummer or something.
Yeah.
All right. Dave Roberts.
Well, he kind of gets connected.
This list is too long. Canelo Circle. He doesn't like Canelo.
Well, he got blown out by Canelo.
Padres.
Like
John Lynch Sr. Yeah, who once offered Mason a 10-year deal.
Yeah, I said no. Thank you.
Tony Danza.
Oh, well, that's when Tony Danza called into the show looking for Dr.
Really?
Clapper.
Tony Danza called in?
But Tony was looking for Clapper.
Oh,
and we put
him
on the air, and he called his MFers.
Did he really?
He didn't realize what was going on.
McManaman. That was like, I remember that one.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho.
Well, yeah, it's a
crumb of a nacho.
Yeah, crumb of a nacho when Jericho was on the show.
LZ?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's
what's with LZ?
Well, it's just
everybody likes LZ.
LZ's good.
LZ didn't like Cap.
Backwards.
Yeah. LZ doesn't
they all
like
hate
Cap?
Him.
Whoa. So these are people who don't like Cap.
That don't like Cap.
Right.
The last one is Keyshawn.
Well, that goes to when I did. He doesn't like Keyshawn because Keyshawn had him on one night in the beginning of the night show. Remember the night show?
Yeah.
And was making fun of him with the promos that we were running. And
Key made fun of me for 4 years. I thought that was, I took it as an honor.
And Key grew up listening to you guys. Key loves you guys.
Oh, yeah. I love Key.
So Key called me afterwards and was like, who did you ask me to go on with? Because he was making fun of me. And man, F that guy.
Really?
Yeah.
So he's got a list.
He does have
there
a list.
There it is. Yeah. So I guess our goal is to stay off the list.
My goal
in 2024.
I'm getting rid of my list. I'm not going to have any grudges.
No grudges?
Year. No grudges in 2024.
What about Steve Hartman?
Cannot stand Steve Hartman. That's the one exception to the rule.
It took you two
Steve
seconds.
Hartman. That's it.
To blow that up.
Rosh Markazi.
All right.
I like Rosh is great.
Okay. It wasn't always that way with you.
What about, don't you have a beef with Alfonso Ribeiro?
I can't stand Alfonso Ribeiro.
Yeah,
he
your list
me over
is
in the
back.
Race.
It took 5 seconds.
Yeah, no, my list is back.
All right, so let's talk about this quarterbacky thing.
Oh, yeah, quarterbacky.
All right, now, what is this girl's name, Bergman? I don't know her.
I pulled it. Monsa.
Monse, I think is how you pronounce it.
Yeah, hang on. It's Monsa, and
she's
on
Fox Sports Radio. Yeah.
And she said, they were talking about Lamar Jackson. And let me find this girl's name. It is...
I think she does one of the weekend shows that you and I used to do way back
in the
day.
Yeah, she does the weekends. And her name is Monsa something or other.
Okay, good.
Probably better.
Well researched.
Probably better that we don't say her last name.
Yeah, all right.
Because what she said is borderline offensive.
I see. But I think she's being accused of some things that are inaccurate. Do you have it?
I do have it.
All right. So they were talking about Lamar Jackson, and the Ravens have picked up on this, and they're making a big deal out of it.
It's Monsa Bolanos from Fox
Anos.
Sports Radio. What is it?
There's a tilde over
and
the end.
I'm pretty sure her name is pronounced Monse.
Monse Bolanos.
Bolanos. Yeah. Okay. Here is what she said about Lamar Jackson.
I want my quarterbacks to be quarterbacky. And to me, Lamar Jackson's just a great athlete, and he's done a really good job, and he had a great game against the 49ers. Prisoners of the moment, he is not the MVP. Christian McCaffrey is the MVP, and he has been. I've been saying this for weeks. It's not like I just decided after this game. That's what happened with Lamar. After this game, he jumped up, but he wasn't even in the conversation. He was like an afterthought. It was always like Tua, Dak. No, it's Christian McCaffrey. And then two, and you know, I'm not a huge fan of Tyreek Hill because of what he does off the field, but you know, a separate conversation. He's in the second one. If it's not Christian, it's Tyreek Hill. Those are the two that have stood out every week. Every week. Not Lamar Jackson. It's not that I don't like Lamar.
Okay. So a couple of things here. After she did that, she said quarterbacky.
I want my quarterbacks to be quarterbacky.
All right. Now, the reason Lamar is good is that he's not quarterbacky.
Yes.
That's why he's the MVP. Mm-hmm. Her argument that Christian McCaffrey's the MVP is a perfectly legitimate argument.
Oh, yeah. Now, you can make that case.
Now, what got kind of went sideways here, and I'll stand up for her in this regard,
I
is
will not.
People said that when she said he's not quarterbacky is code for he's not white.
It's code.
That's exactly what it is.
It's absolutely code.
Why?
When you say when John,
in other words, this was the knock on black quarterbacks for many, many years. It's reason we didn't get to, what was it, 76 was Doug Williams somewhere in
yeah.
there?
Yeah, and Warren Moon had to go to Canada and all that stuff.
It's because coaches throughout history have steered black athletes away from quarterback and into other positions. And it's only now, I think, that we see and it's demonstrated on a week-to-week basis that some of the greatest quarterbacks in the league happen to be black. Her take that it's not quarterbacky, he's just a great athlete, to me, that is code for
not white.
Not white.
I disagree. I don't think that's where she was going. But
where do you think she was going?
I think she doesn't like Lamar Jackson because you can't run a traditional Patrick Mahomes drop back offense with Lamar. He's
a dual threat.
Right. He's too good of a runner.
Right.
But I actually think that's what makes him the MVP.
Yeah.
Is that you can't, like Sean McVay's told us before, that you can play perfect defense.
Yep.
Like all 11 of your guys could do exactly what you coached them to do. And Lamar will still make a play because it's when a play breaks down that he's that dangerous. So using her vernacular, the fact that he's not quarterbacky, to me, makes him the MVP.
Correct. That's what makes him different. That's what sets him apart. The offense is designed around him, and he's unbelievably dangerous. And the Rams just played him, what, 3 weeks ago? The difficult thing about him is, you know, you think you've got him. You think you've got him bottled up, and he gets out of there somehow. And other guys can't do that. Other guys don't have the escapability and the running capabilities that Lamar Jackson has. And I think quarterbacky feels like code to me.
Well, here's why you guys might be right. I didn't think she was going anywhere racial. But she then defended her argument with a statistical tweet saying, here's why I said what I said. Lamar's ranked 15th in QBR. Here's a list of people that are ranked in front of him. These people, in my opinion, and have done more to help their team than Lamar has. Her bosses pulled the clip, I don't know how you found it, but they pulled the YouTube clip,
right,
and then they made her delete her tweet. So they think what you think. Her bosses think what you think.
Yeah, I mean, I think it can be interpreted. What do you think, Morales? I think it can be interpreted that way,
I think,
for sure.
The term is, so pro-style quarterback, when they're doing recruiting, right?
Yep.
Ranking. Pro-style quarterback's Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Typical quarterback, you know, three-step back, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Dual threat is Lamar.
Yeah.
Dual threat. I would like to give her the benefit of the doubt and think that she likes more pro-style quarterbacks. A lot of us grew up watching pro-style quarterbacks, right? But I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. But, and Lamar's already won. The reason her argument's a little hollow is Lamar's already won an MVP playing exactly like this.
And by the way, just won that game, and I think that won the MVP again.
She said it before the game. She said before, I'm pretty sure.
No, she said he had a really good day.
Okay, so she said it after
the
Niners?
She said after the Niners game.
That makes less sense.
That's just nonsense. She says it's still Christian
because
McCaffrey.
Because if your decision was between McCaffrey and Lamar, the Ravens didn't just beat the Niners. They destroyed them, and they did it in California.
Right.
So, Lamar, I have zero issue with Lamar being the MVP of the league.
I think
he's going to win in a landslide.
And by the way, I think they're the Super Bowl champions, too.
Well, the best team doesn't always win.
No, it's true. One bad day.
By the way, I hate to tell you this. I'm kind of changing subjects on you, but all these people that assume the Dodgers are winning the World Series, the team with the highest payroll rarely wins.
Correct.
So the
highest payroll, worst manager.
Well,
oh yeah.
But Chris, he's going to be under more. Dave's going to be under more pressure this year 100%. Than he's ever been.
Yeah,
and I if you study the history of baseball, more times than not, the team with the loaded roster doesn't win the World Series.
But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt year one, because if Ohtani's not pitching year one, Corporate Greg will not. Corporate Greg says
year one. Well, that's why
one.
They went out and got Yamamoto to be Ohtani the pitcher. And then if Ohtani comes back in 2 years and pitches, you've got, you know, a monster 1-2. Yeah.
So Greg has already ordered me that if they do not make the World Series in year one, I'm smashing another bobblehead.
Yeah, as you should, because it really will be a lot of it.
Greg,
will be
steady
on
baseball. It's not. It doesn't happen.
Oh no!
That way.
I mean, trust me. We've won 100 games the last 5 years, and we ended up with what?
Nothing.
Early exits.
Early exits over
one
and
title.
Over again.
Right.
I think this year is the most important year of this 10-year contract to win the World Series.
Although I'll tell you, I was thinking about this. So obviously the great prize, and we hope they win the World Series, and they certainly have the players to be able to do it. But I think what the Dodgers have done is they've added to the appeal of the regular season.
100%.
Matter of fact, people are going to want to go see Ohtani.
Not only want to go see him, I think I'm going to plan my summers around when the Dodger games are.
Right.
They've made it stop what you're doing TV.
Yep.
We used to say every once in a while a guy comes along where he's having a year and you stop what you're doing.
Yep.
And that's been Ohtani for the past 5 years. If you walk into a bar and you look up and Ohtani's at bat, you don't go sit with your friends. You wait till the at bat's over. Now that's going to be every night.
Well, think about
it. Like if the Dodger game's starting in 10 minutes and when you and I are supposed to go to dinner, I'm saying, hey, let's go 45 minutes from now so we can watch top of the first.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Your every game is going to start with Mookie, Freddie, Ohtani.
Right.
Mookie, Freddie, Ohtani.
I think I would switch and go Mookie, Ohtani, Freddie.
Really?
Yeah. They might, by the way.
He's usually around there, around the second spot. And also now then you're having Freddie protecting him. He's going to see nothing but fastballs.
See, that's the kind of analysis in real Dodgers talk in January that we're going to give you.
That's right.
Whether Ohtani's quarterbacky enough or not.
Quarterbacky. Pitchery. They could use him to be a little more pitchery.
I think the Dodgers are going to be. I'm just hoping. And we won't know until the season starts. I'm just hoping it's not going to cost $40 for a beer.
Well, I don't.
Because those costs are going to be passed down to us
money's
somehow.
Did they raise ticket prices?
Probably.
I'm sure they will.
But I'm just. The ticket prices are one thing, but the everyday stuff.
But can you defer the cost of the beer for like 10 years?
Yeah. Well, guys, we'll get you in 10 years on that.
I'll give you $2 now, but in 2 years, I'll give you the other 10.
I'll pay you the rest for the Michelada.
That's a brilliant idea.
All right, coming up next, we're going to do some What's Up, Fool. Brian's got stuff. Bergman's got stuff. In the meantime, hey, Happy New Year from Jacob and Ronnie. So I'll tell you. Not all personal injury attorneys will treat you the same. One primary example is if you're in an accident and you hire an attorney, some major law firms may deem your accident as too small and not worth their time, so then they farm it out to a smaller, less experienced firm. Imagine if that's you. You think you're hiring one person. Instead, you get some rookie handling your case. That is another reason why, if you're in an accident, call Jacob. Every case equally important to Jacob. He won't hand off your case to somebody else. And let's face it, who do you want dealing with the insurance company? Jacob or potentially someone a few months out of law school? Don't take the risk. If you're injured in an accident, call Jacob. Get the medical care that you need and the compensation that you deserve. Because remember, a lot of attorneys say they'll fight for you. Call Jacob. He'll win for you. 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB. Or remember,
accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob.
Call Jacob.com. Make sure you're following him on Instagram at call.jacob. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Quarter in front of 3 o'clock. When you hear the group Player from 1978, you know we're back on a Live Imaging Tuesday with Yacht Rock because Johnny I's here.
Little known fact, the lead guitarist for Player is a guy named Ron Moss.
Oh, beautiful.
Who is also the lead of The Bold and the Beautiful on CBS.
Really?
Mm. Yeah. He plays Ridge Forrester.
Oh, that's
such
Ridge
a soap opera name.
Yeah.
He's a beautiful man, Rich Forster.
Yeah, Rich Forster, good looking dude.
Is he?
And prior to this guy's had a good life.
Really good
life.
Was
he's the lead guitarist for a band, and then he's on Bold and the Beautiful.
Good for him.
You know, picking up on soap opera ladies.
By the way, speaking of soap opera, guess who I got to meet in the suite, our 710 suite at a Kings game a couple weeks ago? Do you guys remember Dr. Michael Mancini from Melrose Place?
Of course. Thomas Calabro.
Yeah. He's friends with Ron Mitchell.
Oh, really?
He was just in there as a fan. Oh, I'm like, wait a minute.
Oh, that's cool.
You're my hero, Dr. Mancini.
Dr. Mancini.
He was great.
I'll be angry. Get him to come back to a Laker game.
I will.
Tell Ron to get him to a Laker
game.
I'd like to meet him.
You know who else we'd like to meet?
Who?
Well, we already met him. But anyway, time for What's Up, Fool.
There you go.
Hit the thing.
What's Up, Fool is brought to you by Dos Hombres Mezcal. It's fate. It's friendship. It's mezcal. Dos Hombres.
Time for the What's Up, Fool. First one of 2024. Take it away, Kirby Craig.
Thanks, Morales. All right, I saw this on Twitter yesterday, and I just want to get your opinion. So it's a guy named Amir Han, and he says, what is the worst movie ending of all time?
Worst movie ending of all time.
I'll start. The one that I thought of when I read this was I Am Legend with Will Smith.
I don't remember how it ended.
It was just nonsense. He has like a grenade. He's stuck in an area with all like the zombies coming after him. And he kills himself instead of getting into a like
I think
safe.
They're making number two in that series.
Yeah, they are.
He also spent three years. Even though he blew himself up with a grenade?
Yeah, maybe somebody else is going to be it. Or it's a prequel. Who knows?
All right.
But he was 3 years trying to survive and find people. As soon as they found a camp with people in it, he killed himself.
Yeah. I don't know the exact name of it, but the last movie, the last Daniel Craig Bond movie where they kill him at the end.
I loved it.
Screw that.
I love that.
And he says, I love you too.
You can't kill Bond.
The poison plants and...
You can't kill James Bond.
Yeah, no.
He's been around for 50 years.
He had that disease that if you touch somebody, they're going to die.
So he had no choice but to have his island bombed. Yeah, I hated that ending.
So that ending
Brian,
is
what's
your
the
choice?
Worst ending to a movie?
One that comes up recently is Uncut Gems. I didn't like the ending of the way that
finished.
I was not a fan of the way it
ended. Oh, my God, that's such a great movie.
Yeah, it is a very good movie.
Good movie, I agree.
Awesome performance by Adam Sandler, but you're right. It was so depressing.
Right, like I wanted that happy ending.
Right, well, or at least not an ending like that.
Right.
Yeah,
it's not a happy movie. He's not a happy guy.
That could have been. He just hit.
Yeah,
he just hit.
He just won big, and then boom.
Well, you know.
So I've got three.
Wow,
three.
They're all doing the same thing, and I hate this. So it's Dune, Mission Impossible, and Fast and the Furious. So
but there's
no
ending yet.
There's no ending. They're making one movie that is part one. Then you have
to wait a
year to see part two.
Harry Potter did that, and it was fine.
No, but a Harry Potter did. This
no, it
is
didn't.
Just ending in the middle.
Seven ended to go to the next movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, in Fast and Furious, Ludacris he's gone over a mountain like he's going to crash into a... He's going to crash his plane, and we don't know if the plane's going to crash or not because the movie just ended.
Yeah, that ain't right.
No, it's not right at all.
What about you, Morales? You have a bad movie ending?
I hated the way The Departed ended. I thought it was brilliant for 3 hours and 22 minutes.
There's Nicholson in a trash bin, right?
That's not the end.
That's not the end.
And then the end is,
the end is
we're just all going to shoot each other in the head.
Right.
And it was like this was... That whole movie, I'm like, this is going to be the newest Godfather to me, the newest Casino.
Yeah.
And then, I shoot you in the head. Then it would be the equivalent of we're all here.
Yep.
I shoot you in the head. Then John shoots me in the head. Then Greg out of nowhere comes and shoots him in the head.
Right.
It's like, really, guys? This is how we're going to end this?
Then Greg gets the show.
Brian will shoot me, and then Brian will shoot. So the funny thing about The Departed, when it first came out, a friend of mine was like, don't spoil it for me. I haven't seen it. I want to go see it. He goes, everybody dies.
Right.
Yeah, it's on the, when it was finally over, I was like,
except for
you
Mark
spoiled
Wahlberg.
It.
Mark Wahlberg does not die.
Mark Wahlberg is okay. Yeah. He survives. Spoiler alert.
It was only 15, actually longer than that, right? 2006?
Yeah.
That's how long ago The Departed came out?
Yeah.
Wow.
What's up, fool?
All right, guys, so we know the whole referee situation, the Lions-Cowboys game, and Brad Allen's crew was downgraded out of the playoffs.
Okay.
Well, it was announced today that they're going to be refereeing another national TV game this Saturday. It is going to be the Steelers-Ravens game, so the Steelers still have some playoff hopes on the line here. How do you guys feel about them now another national TV game, even though they just blew this and got downgraded out of the playoffs?
Well, first of all, most NFL games are national TV games. I mean, some are regional, but you can watch any game anytime. So if the refs screw up, you're going to hear about it. I'm still trying to figure out who should really get the blame for that two-point conversion at the end.
It's really hard to say.
Because I know what the Lions were doing. They sent three linemen over to the referee to confuse the Cowboys, and all it ended up doing was confuse the refs.
Correct.
So I
would argue that the ref didn't listen.
No, Dan Campbell also said that he told the refs before the game
Correct.
That this was going to happen.
No. Alan wasn't in that meeting.
No, what, the other refs.
Yeah.
But still,
but
if he
job,
told them ahead of time.
It is his job to know. I believe that guy said something to him, and I don't believe it registered with the refs.
So I think there was two guys. They walked up to him. One guy said his name, and he just thought it was the other one. Or said, I'm
right. That's what
checking
I think happened
in,
too.
But he just thought it was the other one.
By the way, I heard DeMarco and Travis killing Dan Campbell for going for two after the penalty.
Yeah, they should have.
Well,
after
Greg,
the penalty, I would have kicked it.
Okay. You should have kicked it.
All right. You guys all think that?
Yeah.
Well,
I think there's more, something more simple here. The Lions were already in the playoffs. They were on the road, and Dan Campbell just said, I don't want overtime. I don't want to play another 15 minutes here. All that can do is get one of my guys hurt. We're going to go for it. If we win it, great.
Well, he wins. He didn't have to play the extra 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
It was the difference between the two
and the way
and the
they were playing, I think they would have definitely won in overtime. At that moment.
Yeah.
They were playing so well in that fourth quarter and the momentum.
Yep. I like Dan Campbell. I mean, I have no problem with him going for it. I think the right move was to kick, but
yeah, I just don't think he wanted overtime.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah.
He didn't want to deal with it.
What's up, Foo?
All right, guys. So, we already said the Rams in the playoffs. Are they going to be sitting people this next couple games or the next upcoming game? Puka Nacua is 29 yards away from the rookie record, 3 catches away from the rookie record. He's got to play, right?
Yeah. I think Sean will tell
gotta
us tomorrow that
record.
He is playing.
Yeah.
And he'll get that in the first quarter.
Right. My follow-up
question.
So
if you want to sit him at halftime, go ahead. But I think to get to the heart of your question, yes, I think they play him and let him go for the record.
And where would you rank Puka's rookie wide receiver season? Up there with like Randy Moss and Anquan Boldin?
Well, Moss was nothing but catching touchdowns. So he was a little more high profile. But Nacua's been as good of a rookie as the Rams have ever had.
Oh, he's breaking the record for most receptions and most yardage ever for a rookie wide receiver. I mean, he's got to rank top couple in terms of
rookie
season.
Well, the reason Moss is probably ahead of him is Moss kept scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, Moss had 17 touchdowns. Puka's got 5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
yeah,
still, there's something to be said. And doing it on a team with Cooper Kupp is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And those guys seem to get along great.
Right, and Cooper Kupp is still making big catches.
Right.
Still making big catches.
What's up, Foo?
I got one more here for you guys. So we talked about the FSU, Alabama situation, especially on Twitter.
Yes.
And all the SFU players, there's a bunch of them, took to Twitter. They had a couple quotes, the difference between earned and given. This is a joke. They don't deserve that. Isn't this a salty look or kind of a bad look after? They did sit out a bunch of their guys, but they lost 60-3.
RG3 was going nuts.
Yeah.
He was going nuts trying to defend FSU.
It's a bad look to take the Twitter and, bash
Florida Alabama. State has no leg to stand on here at all. They didn't compete.
Yeah.
And you can't make the claim that you got screwed and then mail in your bowl game. If they wanted to do that, they should have just said no.
Yeah, they should have.
They should have just said, we don't want to play.
Or just
But they wanted the money.
Go out and beat Georgia.
Right. They wanted the money, and then they took on Georgia, and they didn't show up. It's exactly what USC did against UCLA. USC didn't show up. And that's my problem with Florida State is you have to compete. And if you don't compete, you don't get to complain
and whine.
Yeah. Some of those tweets have since been deleted as well. So
I would think.
What's up, Foo?
All right, so one quick one. So Ryan Thibodeau is at not Mr. Tibbs on Twitter. He follows all of the Baseball Hall of Fame voting. So there's about 27% that's known right now, according to him. And it has Beltre in at number 1 with 98%.
Yep.
Helton's going to get in, according to this, at 82.9. Joe Mauer at 82.9. And Bobby Wagner at 80. Not Bobby Wagner. Not Bobby Wagner. What is it? No, it's Wagner. Who am I thinking? What?
Wagner?
Billy Wagner. Thank you. Yeah. Billy Wagner at 80%. And then Sheffield, Beltran, and Jones not in. What do you think the final of those top four would be? Do you think they all get in or just Beltre?
It surprises me that Beltre is that high because
wait a minute. Beltre is an obvious one.
Wasn't he in the Mitchell Report?
The Mitchell Report really.
Not to my knowledge.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. The weird thing about Beltre was he had never hit a lot of home runs, and in his contract year, his free agency year with the Dodgers, he hit 48 homers, which raises a huge red flag. Now, I'm not saying that he was using steroids or performance-enhancing drugs, but it sure looks like it, and I don't know if he's ever answered it. And if we're keeping other people out for PEDs, why does he get a pass?
Because he's not in the Mitchell report.
But
I'm looking at it.
Okay,
he's not,
look at his numbers.
You can't you can't just say, oh, look at the numbers.
Why not?
Because there's no evidence.
Okay.
There's not evidence. In other words, if he tested negative every single time he was tested.
Okay, so Brady Anderson was the same way. Didn't hit a lot of home runs. Then 1 year hit 60.
Right.
And then went right back to, like.
I mean, he's not Hall of Fame worthy, though.
Yeah,
right.
He's not Hall
but
of Fame.
But Rafael Palmeiro is.
Yeah, and let's be honest.
He was in the Mitchell report.
Yeah. The one thing about Beltre, I'd have to pull up his numbers, but he had a jump.
Like 20 years.
Yeah, he had a jump in his last year with the Dodgers before he went to, I think he went to the Mariners next. That was just, I mean, I think he was one of these guys that had like 25 home runs a year, and then he hit 48 in his free agent year.
That was actually 2010 with Boston. He hit 49.
Yeah.
His high with the Dodgers was 39.
But
3,000 hits is 3,000 hits. You're an automatic.
And Palmeiro really, had 3,000 hits.
Right, but Palmeiro is in the Mitchell report. He's obviously a cheater. There's no evidence that Beltre cheated. In fact, he came out after Gagne said 80% of the Dodgers were on PEDs. Beltre came out and said, I was not.
Well, the fact that he's getting 98% of the vote is a clear indication that people don't think he cheated.
Yeah, I mean, 3,000 hits is 3,000 hits.
Yeah, and like Helton doesn't get into you, in your mind, right?
I don't think Helton.
It's
a
too much.
Favorite.
You're in Colorado in that ballpark.
And how do we feel
time.
About closers? Is Billy Wagner?
Okay, so
now?
Mace, here's what
I don't think so.
Mace, here's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
In 2000, okay, here's Beltre's home runs with the Dodgers.
Yep.
Okay. 20, 13, 21, 23. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 2004, which is his free agency year, 48.
It's a lot of home
the
runs.
The very next year, 19. So he went 23, 48, 19.
How many games did he play in the 19 year?
156.
No.
That's like if in your contract you're making.
By the
you
way, Greg,
a
the
week
same
of
amount
vacation.
He played when he hit 48.
Yeah.
So he went from 48 home runs to 19 with the exact
right,
same
but,
amount of games played.
But you're essentially saying because he played in an era and had a really good season, he must be on PEDs.
I'm saying it looks suspicious. He went from 23 home runs to 48 to 19, 25, 26.
So you would keep him out because you think he
No, I would ask the question, and I don't – it
gonna
surprises
say, no,
me.
I wasn't.
It surprises me he's getting 98% of the vote.
Not for me. 3,000 hits is 3,000 hits.
But you keep saying that, but there's guys with 3,000 hits who aren't in.
Correct, who are cheaters and in the Mitchell report.
And if you watch Beltre play.
I just don't think it's fair to paint everybody with a broad brush and say, oh, Adrian Beltre had a great year. He must be on PEDs. Maybe he just had a great year. Because there's not in the Mitchell report. He's never tested positive for anything. I think it's unfair to even suggest it, to be honest.
It seems
passionate sports talk.
No. It just seems. How do you explain 20, 48, 19?
He had a good
That's
year.
It's a really good year, Mace.
Yeah, he had a good year.
Okay.
Does that. But 3,000 hits is 3,000 hits. And there's. Can you just ascribe guilt to somebody where there's no evidence of guilt?
No, but you can look at the numbers and ask the questions, which is what I'm doing. And. It just, I'm not saying that unequivocally Adrian Beltre cheated. I have no evidence of it. But I'm looking for an explanation.
So would you vote for him or no?
I'd probably make him wait. I probably wouldn't vote for him.
So who would you put in this
ballot.
Year? Nobody,
see.
Right? I wouldn't put anybody in. If you're not going to put Beltre, you can't put anybody in.
Beltre's going in.
I think he's going in too. I don't think Joe Mauer is Hall of Fame worthy.
Joe Mauer is not a Hall of Famer.
Todd Helton's not a Hall of Famer.
No.
Billy Wagner,
you could probably make a case for.
I mean,
if you really value closers,
there's only
I think Billy Wagner's way up the top near in terms of total saves in his career. Yeah,
I think he's third.
Based on Mace's passion over this, I think we should do like a special Hall of Fame celebration for Adrian Beltre.
Let's do it. Go, Adrian. He had an amazing career.
I mean, you were very passionate about it.
Yeah. I just don't like
3 o'clock
people.
At KSPN Los Angeles, a Good Karma Brands
radio
station.
By the way, Mike Piazza, because there was rumors, didn't make it till his fourth try. So if Mike Piazza had to wait 4 years, then Adrian Beltre can wait one.
Two wrongs make a right. Great, I understand.
Yeah. All right, well, you know.
In other words, there was no evidence on Piazza either.
Correct, but just absolute Hall of Fame numbers.
Yeah.
From the get-go.
Right.
And because he played in that era where there was people are assuming most people did it, they made him wait 4 years.
Yeah, I think it's because he badmouthed Vince Scully.
That actually did not help him at all.
At all.
At all. All right, coming up next, John, I'm telling you, there's a really surprising answer to this question.
Okay.
What coach would NFL players most like to play for? Think about that. There's an actual survey of real NFL players.
And also, Greg, do you remember that remote we did at Black Gold?
Oh, come on.
Where Mason, where the wind blew and the thing, and Mason ran past all of us.
Faster I've ever seen him run.
There is an equivalent in the NFL to that that I will explain.
By the way, that day, he would have beat you in a race.
Yep. Never seen him move that fast.
You know what I say. Save your own ass first.
Exactly.
All right, we'll do that.
There's an NFL player who thinks just like you.
We'll do it coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.